listening to the Paranet Continuum. Whether or not you believe in the paranormal, there's a lot on the subject you haven't heard. Stay tuned, keep an open mind, and call in. Once again, here's your host, Michael Corbett.
1-800-836-2009, 1-800-836-2009. It's a toll-free number. Give us a call. My guest tonight is Bill Nelson. We're talking about his latest book, Manson Behind the Scenes. And before we went to break, we were talking about the connection between the Zodiac Killer and the Manson family. Continue, Bill.
Well, I'm friends, as you know, Mike, with the chief prosecutor of the Manson family, Vincent Bugliosi, six-time bestseller. And I've been sharing with him over the past 2 years my concept of the Zodiac connection. I didn't invent this concept. I had appeared on a television talk show, and a author happened to see me and wrote me as a result of my appearance. And over the last 2 years, I've been telling Vince about it, and he finally asked me a question. Is there any time that your suspect could not have been available for a crime committed by Zodiac? And I answered no. At every crime of Zodiac, this person related to the Manson family was available, was free, and most of the time his whereabouts unknown. How about that?
Interesting, very interesting. Why did you write the book?
I wrote the book because there's a lot of things that I found out about the case, Mike. After my long investigation, my tour with Doris Tate, I went to Canada with her, over to Sweden to a victims' rights conference, over to England. I met Roman Polanski, the former husband of Sharon Tate, in Paris with Doris. I really got to know her well, and I kept hearing a lot of stories and clearing up a lot of things in my mind that just weren't correct at the time that Helter Skelter was written or the case was prosecuted. And it was actually Mr. Bugliosi who continued to prompt me and say, you really ought to write the book. Nobody else could do it. And I really didn't want to write the book. And I walked away from the whole thing and sold my library, would you believe? And it came back to me. I mean, I'm 53 years old, I'm a white male, you're almost unemployable in that situation. And the book came back to me, and I thought I'd be done by Christmas. And I didn't finish until about 10 days ago with the complete manuscript. The covers are done, the book will be on the streets available as of February 12th. It's 400 pages, almost all new information, nothing regurgitated, rehashed, and there is so much information on this case that is just absolutely astounding. Let me just give you a tease. After the Watts riot, 65, 66, after the assassinations in 1968, Robert Kennedy, etc., Manson had to believe it's time. And that's the words he used when he started the massacre to the Tate property. He called them together on the boardwalk at Spahn Ranch, and he said, it's time. Coincidentally, that's a term that Zodiac used, it's time. And Manson really believed that he needed to show the blacks how to rise up. And the thing that is so offensive is he wanted to destroy society by destroying the whites, and the blacks would take power. But then Charles Manson thought they were too illiterate and too dumb to keep power, so they needed the family, of all things, these hippie girls and Charlie Manson, to show them how to maintain power. So it was much more far-fetched to start a race war. That's why they wrote pig on the door in Sharon Tate's blood.
Was Manson crazy? Is he crazy?
No. When I interviewed Diane Lake, and I'm thrilled to have Diane Lake, who was called, for all of you people who read Helter Skelter, Diane Lake, Snake Lake, and she got that weird reputation because of the way she was supposed to have moved her body during sexual encounters, when that has infuriated her all these years. And Mike, she gave me an exclusive interview, and I asked her to describe, give me some adjectives on Charles Manson, and I was stunned when she said, brilliant. Charles Manson was brilliant. And the people that really knew Charles Manson, none of them thought he was crazy. A manipulator, a con artist. But I never thought I'd hear the word brilliant. Did you?
No, that's interesting. Okay, hold that. 1-800-836-2009, 1-800-836-2009. My guest is Bill Nelson. We're talking about his newest book, Manson Behind the Scenes. Stay tuned. I'm Michael Corbett, and this is the Paranet Continuum. We'll be right back.
Now back to your host, Michael Corbett.
My guest tonight is Bill Nelson, his latest book, Manson, Behind the Scenes. And again, we're covering this topic tonight because it kind of falls into the purview of conspiracies and something very interesting here. But Bill, before we went to break, you were mentioning that, that these murders were not random acts of senseless violence. You know, we hear these things popping up also with Son of Sam and these other different crimes that are going on. My question is, and if we have a deal here where there's a connection possibly between Manson and the Zodiac Killer, and I'm just curious how somebody gets that kind of access to the top-level people that were involved in all of this.
You mean how... I don't follow your question.
Well, in other words, you know, we're talking about the crime of the century, at least
right.
Before the O.J. case.
Right.
But we're talking about, you know, a man who was able to allegedly, well, not allegedly, I mean, these people have been convicted in a court of law. We're talking about a man who was able to get people, and, you know, in all of the literature that I've ever read about this, we're talking about people using words like hypnosis, hypnotic.
Mind control.
Yeah, exactly. Are we dealing with something like this?
Well, I think you are because Charlie Manson was a gifted manipulator. He was able to control other people. In completing my book, the end of last year, Mike, I interviewed some of the police officers that were at Barker Ranch October 10th, October 12th of 1969. They took Manson and the other followers in custody, and the man was describing to me riding in the back of the pickup truck with Manson and what the response to the girls and the guys were when they were laughing and singing and very giddish and they could care less. And when Charlie gave disapproval, how immediately their expressions would change. They would get quiet, and he thought, wow, these guys really listen to this guy. This guy's powerful. He's only a 5'2" little runt.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, he was able to manipulate and control and motivate people to do things that perhaps they wouldn't have done if they hadn't met Charles Manson.
Well, now, the thing is, how do we stack this up with, say, some of these other crimes that have come down the pike that have similarities?
Well, in most cases, the killers will do the job themselves. Ted Bundy acted alone. You talked about the Jim Jones incident. The only thing I have in common with him is that I came from Indianapolis, and so did he. And Charles Manson used to be housed in a correctional institution in Juvenile Hall in Indianapolis. So maybe it's the water in Indianapolis. What do you think?
Now, you have a Manson member who is in the federal witness protection. What's the story on that?
Well, it's very interesting. A member of the Manson family is paid for and protected by our federal government. She married a man in prison, federal prison. The story I got was he was guilty or involved in some murders. He turned evidence, was moved from one state to another state, and this person was actually doing a little bit of television in 1993, appeared in a tabloid in 1993, and I called up the Justice Department and I said, I don't understand. How do you have someone in federal witness protection allowing her to possibly write a book talking about movie rights and appearing on television while she supposedly is being paid for by the taxpayers? I think it's extremely humorous. The person was involved in the Hawthorne shootout, and her name's Gypsy. Catherine Scherr, Gypsy, is paid for by witness protection funds today.
Why? I mean, what's the reason for that?
I suppose related to her husband and what he was possibly involved in. If he turned snitch in prison, as I was told he did, then that could be some pretty heavy stuff. I also document in the book, Mike, that while traveling up through the mountains in the suburbs of Los Angeles recently, I stopped at a restaurant, and there was a woman there who documented that she knew that Catherine Scherr was in federal witness protection, and she said to me, oh, you'd be amazed what's happening to a couple of these people. One of them is a school teacher teaching our kids. And I said, really? Who's that? And she couldn't recall, but she says, more than that, there's another one that's actually in witness protection. And she told me there was a couple murder contracts out on Catherine Scherr. So I thought that was phenomenal that I would even hear this story. I've only been in that town twice in my life. So she's in federal witness protection, protected and paid for by we taxpayers, and she used to flee the federal government after the Hawthorne shootout and her credit card scam that she pulled off in Northern California, which was nationwide. She was up in Canada for about a year, traveling and fleeing from the FBI's pursuit. So it's just, you know, it's mind-boggling to me is the only word I can think to describe it.
And, of course, you're hearing it tonight, the first time ever. Shocking new information documented and completing 7 years of research by my guest tonight, who's compiled a 400-page book that gives everyone a rare view of behind-the-scenes actions in the Manson murder case.